Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bav Metzia, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet, the second Mishnah on the page, furthering our inquiry into the rights of the worker to eat while he's working, and we're now looking at Mishnah Dalet. Haya Oseh Bateinim Lo Yochal Banavim, Banavim Lo Yochal Bateinim. So if he's working with figs, he can't eat from the fellow's grapes, and vice versa. But he may restrain himself and not eat from the grapes right in front of him until he gets to the better grapes. All of this entire thing we've been discussing since Mishnah Bet is only while you're working. But, in other words, mi'ikar hadin, really, a person should not be able to eat except while he's directly engaged in work. But because of the concern of hashavat aveda, meaning the concern that the worker will waste time from his work, and that will be a loss to the employer, they said that a worker can eat while he's going from row to row, and when they're coming back from the wine press. And the last line of Chamor Shepurakit we'll look at the end of our little Gemara. Okay, Ibai Aluhu. The question is, let's say you're working on one row of vines, and that's your job. Can you eat from the adjacent row of vines? Is the right that you have to eat from the same species that you're harvesting for the, that you're putting into the pouch for the, employer, and that you've got, maybe it has to be the same thing that you're putting into the pouch for him that you're allowed to eat, valeka, and then it's not, because you were, hired to pick that vine. If you're going to take that position, then shor mechubar hechi ochel. Remember, in the beginning of our sugya, or our sugyot, we investigated the rights of a shor to eat b'mechubar, and we established that it's so. How could a shor ever eat b'mechubar? He's clearly not working on that particular thing that he's eating from, because then it wouldn't be mechubar. So, Amshesh Breder Avidi B'sharcha, you know, it's possible they can have a very long vine, or a long stalk, or whatever. All right, so Toshma. So we still don't know. Haya oseh b'teinim lo yechal banavim. What does our Mishnah say? If you're working with figs, you can't eat grapes. What's the implication? Ha teinim u'teinim dumid teinim banavim. If you have one set of figs and another set of figs, which is similar to figs and grapes, meaning separate things, ochel, implying that you may eat from other things of the same kind rather than the ones you're working from. So how could you have a parallel where you're eating from one thing that you're working on, and the parallel case is teinim anavim? The answer is if you have a fig tree that is draped right over the grape arbor, in which case the parallel is the same fig. So in other words, it is possible that you may only eat from the thing you're working on, and teinim anavim that is prohibited, implying that the parallel teinim u'teinim is talking about where they're really intertwined almost. Toshma. The Mishnah said that you couldn't restrain yourself until you get to the good stuff. But if you think that you're allowed to eat from other stuff, why don't you go and get the good stuff and bring it while you're working on the not so good stuff? The answer is that is not because you're not allowed to eat from it, because you're not allowed to waste time going over to the other thing to get food. So that's not our question. As we saw in the previous sugya, what would happen if you had somebody else along, a family member, a friend, who would go and collect the stuff and bring it to you while you're working? Is that permissible? So Toshma, v'cholam lo amrel b'shat melachav v'mneh, hashev avidal v'balim, v'mu po'alim ochlim v'olichatam n'umanuman, chazeratan min hagat. So the end of our Mishnah. Now, savrua, we assume that mahalech kosem ma'isadami. Walking is considered a ma'isa. V'mishum hashev avidal v'balim hu da'achil. And what's the only reason you're allowed to eat? Because of this takanan derabanan, midoraita lo achil, alma osav gefen zeino achal begefen acher. What do you see from here? That while you're working on one thing, you're really not allowed to eat from another thing. So therefore, while you're walking, you're not allowed to eat. But midorabanan, we permit it. No, liolam emelachal osav gefen zeino achal begefen acher. Perhaps it's the opposite way. That really you're allowed to eat from other stuff. Umalech lav kosam aisidami. But our original assumption is wrong, because walking is not considered a maaseh. Ika da Amri, there's the opposite way of viewing this. Savrom alech lav kosam aisedami. We think that walking is not a maisa. V'hainu tami de midoraita lo achil, so why are you not allowed to eat midoraita when you're going from row to row? Mishum b'la maikos maisa dami, you're not working. How's a maisa achil midoraita? So if it was considered working, you could eat even from other stuff. And then we flip and say, lo, li oim l'chaus b'gefen zeh, in ochel b'gefen acher. Really, you can only eat from the stuff you're working on. And walking really is considered a maaseh. But you can't eat from the other stuff. We're not for the takana d'rabbanan. Right, at the end of the Mishnah said, v'chamor k'shiporeket. K'shiporeket eichan achla. If you're taking the stuff off the donkey, what's she going to eat from? So, ima ajte poreket. Read the Mishnah rather that the donkey can eat from what is on its back until it is unloaded. Tanin alahan, we have a bright that supports. Tan rabbanan chamor v'gamal ochlim masui shagaban. They can eat from what's on their back. But the donkey driver cannot take it and feed it to them. Okay, the next Mishnah. Ochel po'el kishut afilu b'dinar. Kotev afilu b'dinar. He can eat the stuff that's there, even a dinar's worth, even if he's hired for less. V'lazo chismo mer lo yochal po'el yoter al schar. He can't eat more than his salary is. Chachamim matirin. It sounds like chachamim are just echoing Tanakama. We'll deal with that right away. Avam lamdina tadam shloi rav tan v'yehi sotemet p'yapetach v'fanav. We coach somebody not to be a chazer, not to eat a lot, and not to act so hungry and to eat so much stuff up, not because of an ethical problem, but because of a pragmatic problem, is that he's going to shut the door in his face, meaning nobody's going to hire him, because they're going to know that they will know that he'll eat a lot. All right. Chacham minu Tanakama. So as I mentioned, it seems like the Chacham's position is the same as Tanakama. Where do they differ? We have three answers. First one, Ikimanayu Avam Lamdin. Perhaps the end of the Mishnah is something that only Chachamim say, that we coach the guy not to eat so much. Tanakama lately Malamdin, or Bani Lo Malamdin. That's answer one. Ibaite, my answer two. Ikimanayu de Rav Asi. Perhaps they disagree about whether to accept Rav Asi's ruling. The Amar Rav Asi, Afilo Scharu El Liv Tzor Eshkol Achad. Even if he hired him only to harvest one cluster, Ochlo, he can eat that cluster. Now, parenthetically, V'yam Ravasi, Afilo Batsar El Eshkol Achad. Even if you hired him to do a lot, but he only so far ate one cluster, he could eat it. Ochlo. Utsricha, why did Ravasi have to say both these things? The Iyash Menach Kamaita, if he only told us the first rule, that if he only hired him to do one cluster, he can eat it. If I'd only known that, Mishum Delo Ika Lameta, the Caleb Shel Abayit, I wouldn't understand why, because there's nothing for him to put into the Caleb Shel Balabayit. But where he's harvesting a lot, maybe he has to harvest first, then eat. If I only learn the second one, where he is doing a lot, but he may eat the first one, because in the end, he can hand something over. But I would certainly think that if you only are hired to harvest one cluster, you can't eat the whole cluster, because then you're not giving anything to the balabait. That's why we needed it. So the question is, do we accept Rav Asi or not? Tanakama evidently accepts Rav Asi, says you can eat as much as you want. And Chachamim are matirin, meaning to eat more than your sachar, but not the entire thing. That's possibility two. Possibility three. Ibait Ema Ika Benayhu Durav. The disagreement is whether to accept Rav's protest against Rav Isi's halacha, the Amarav. I found in my uncle's house, Rabbi Chia's Beis Medrash, a hidden note. That somebody had written this note down about this strange halacha, because they thought it'd be forgotten. Take a look at Rashi. He interprets the pasuk literally. Anybody can walk into the field and eat. They just can't put it in their pouch. And Rav says, Isi's interpretation makes life unlivable. Because I can have a vineyard, and then anybody can walk in and eat whatever they want, and I'm going to be certainly in a permanent Shemitah kind of status. All right, so the question is, do we accept that or not? We have Machloket Rashi Rosh, which Tanakam, is it Tanakam or Chachamim, who accept Rav's protest? The simple read of it seems to be that the Tanakama allows for Rav Asi. He says you can eat as much as you want. Chachamim matirin, simply meaning they're matirin, eating more than your sachar. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi, Amrita l'shmata kamid Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says, there's two gersolot here, we'll follow this one. Rav Ashi mentioned this in front of Kahana and then suggested Dilma ba'osin misudatan. Maybe what we're talking about is a case where the workers are working for food. That's what they're getting paid. So I'm really, what did Rav Kahana say back? He'd rather hire somebody to pick his stuff rather than have anybody come in and just eat from his field. All right, Ibai Elohu. Now the question is, and this will occupy us for the rest of the podcast, is the worker eating something that's his? Meaning, does the Torah grant, does the Torah gift this food that the worker could eat to him? Or is Mishal Shamayim? Is it a special gift that God gives? We'll call it a grant. We'll actually flip it, and in the first case, we'll call Mishal Ochel, we'll say that's a grant, he's granted it. In the second case, it's a gift from heaven. Now, the Minaf Kamina, what's the difference between these? The Amar Tunu Lishti Yilvanai. If he says, you know, I won't eat, give it to my kids. Iyamar Mishal Ochel, if it's his, Yavinalu, it's his, he could do whatever he wants with it, including giving it to his family. But if it's Mishamayim, it's a gift from God, the Torah gave it to him. The Torah never gave it to his family members. It's not up to him to decide where it's going to go. Effectively, it's the difference between Truma and Maaser. Because Truma is a gift from heaven. The Kohen doesn't have the right to say, give it to my friend the Israel. Levi, on the other hand, gets Maaser. That's his, and therefore he can give it to whoever he wants, and they can eat it. So my, what's the answer to this? So we have a whole bunch of suggested proofs, as you can see on the handout, and we'll see. Toshma, ochel poel kishut v'afilu b'dinar kovet v'afilu b'dinar our mishnah. So yeah, mishalahu ochel oger b'danka achel b'zuza. If he's eating something which is granted to him, he's hired for $100. He can eat $1,000 worth. Makes no sense. So elamai mishal shemaim ochel. But does that means that you have the other position that is a gift from God? So Sof Ogiver Danka Alchavazuz, the same problem. He's eating more than he was hired for. Amayit Lachlamemru, how are you going to answer it? Rachmana Zachile, Achanam Rachmana Zachile. Either the Torah granted him that much, whether it's Mishalom Mishamayim, that's what the Torah granted. So you can't solve it that way. In other words, either way, it's an anomaly. Toshma, let's see. Rabbi Elazar Chisma, Omer Lo Yochal Poel Yotar Aschor Chacham Matirim. So the Machloket, Rabbi Elazar Chisma Chachamim, if he can eat more than his salary. So my love, Bakmi Palgi, isn't this their machloket? The marsav mishalahu ochel, marsav mishal shamayim ochel. In other words, Rabbi Elazar says, you're eating mishaloh, and therefore it can't be more than your salary. And Chum say, you know, it's mishal shamayim, and therefore whatever it is, you is. Look, the kuliyawa mishalahu ochel, but he agrees it's his. V'acha b'kenaf shecha kemi palgi, they're disagreeing on how to interpret that word kenaf shecha. In the pasuk, v'achalta anavim kenaf shecha sovecha. Marsav our kenaf shecha means b'davar shemoser nafsho alav. Kanafshecha means something that you've worked hard for and you're really risking yourself for, climbing up a tree, etc. Marsav kanafshecha, the drush that we saw, ma nafshecha im chasam tapatur, apoam chasam tapatur. So he said, just like you, the worker can avoid eating when you're in your own field, so he can also agree to avoid eating and make a deal to not eat and take a greater salary or whatever. Okay, so that does not solve the problem. The machloket Rav Elazar Chachamim is not about Mishalo versus Mishal Shamayim, but really how to interpret the word Kanaf Shecha. Is it about your rights to restrain yourself, or is it about really that it's kind of part of the working? And that would be Rav Elazar's position. Toshma, Nazir Shamartnu Li'ishtiyu Vanai. If a Nazir is working in a vineyard, not a smart idea. And he says, I can't eat the grapes, give it to my family members. Ain't Shomin Lo, we don't do it. If it's his, why can't we do it? The answer is no. There's an old adage that says that we tell a nazir to walk around a kerem. We don't want him to be in a kerem. It's a terrible temptation. So therefore, to discourage him from doing that, we don't allow his food grant to go to his family. But that doesn't mean that normally we wouldn't. Toshma poel shamar tenu liishti uvana in shomin lo. So here it says poel. So the Yemar Mishalocha Ma'in Shomin. That's the answer. May I Poel Nazir? We're talking about a Nazir. I have a Tanya Nazir, a Tanya Poel. But we have a bright that says Nazir. We have another one that says Poel. Clearly the Poel's not a Nazir. But that's not true. Midi Gabi Hadadi Tanya. These brightot were not learned together such that the Poel must be a non-Nazir. And the bright of the Poel's was taught separately. So it could be referring to a Nazir. Okay, Toshma. Minayim Poel Shamar Tunu Lishtiu Vanai Shein Shomin. No Shinemar Velkel Yechal Lo Titein. So this one's a little stronger, because here it's a poel, but the proof text is from the pasuk about that you're not allowed to put in your pouch, implying giving it to your family members is like hoarding it. You want to try to interpret that poor as a nazir? The reason given should not be the proof text. It should be the policy that we have against encouraging a nazir to try to discourage a nazir from going into working in a vineyard. The answer is ain't achinami. It really is a nazir. Since we called him a poel, they took a pasuk from the poel. But really, it's about a nazir. It's a little bit of a strange answer. Toshma. Hasochet ha-poel lekatzot b'te'inim. This is from this braita. If somebody hired a worker to harvest figs, hariza ochel patur min ha-maser. Right, we knew that. Amanat she'ochal ani ubanai o she'ochal b'ni b'schari. If it says that I am conditioned, I'm working for you on condition that I, my son, can also eat, or that my son can eat in lieu of my salary, hu ochal patur b'no ochal b'chayav. His son has to take masrot. V'yamart mishloh ochel b'no my chayav. But if it's his, then why can't the same right that he has to eat without maser go to his son? The answer is, I'm ravina mishum to mechzik and mekach, because one of the six things that's koveh al masrot is mekach, when you buy the food. And here it looks like it was bought with his work. Okay, the one that goes to his son. Toshma ha-socher tapuel asot b'netar v'ayshaloh. This is the next Mishnah. If you hire a worker to work in your field, which is netar v'ay, it's the fourth year of planting, which means it's now has the status of Maser Sheni. But unlike Maser Sheni, it's not to revive from the point that it grows. So therefore, you could be harvesting it, and it's already not to revive. Hara'elu lo yochlu, the workers aren't allowed to eat it. Vimlo diyam, but if he didn't tell them in advance, podel machilan, he has a responsibility to redeem it and allow them to eat it. Vimar mishal shamaymu ochel, amai podel machilan. If we think it's Mishamayim, why does he have to redeem it? The Torah never gave them rights to eat an Isur. The answer is, Hata Mishum de Mechzik Mekach Taut. Because there it looks like a Mekach Taut, because he didn't tell them that it was Netar Revai. They came in assuming they could eat. So he has to do it for that reason. Not because they really have the rights to it. So I am a safer, but look at the end of that Mishnah, which we're going to meet in the next podcast. Nit parsu igula nit patru chaviyotav. If his fig cakes suddenly busted open and he hired workers to put them back, or his barrels of wine opened up and he needed workers to refix the barrels and reseal them, they can't eat. You know why they can't eat? Because these things were already nikbala masrot. And the rule that we've seen throughout the sugya is that any food items that have already been finished in the process of the chayv masrot are now off the table for eating. But if he didn't tell them that these things were already fig cakes or already in the barrel, then he does have to separate the masrot and feed them. Again, if you think it's v'shamayim, then why does he have to be maser? The Torah never gave them the rights to eat isurim. So you're going to argue it's a mekach taot again? So Bishlaman Prasu Agulav, I understand that's true about the fig cakes, Mexican Mekartot. Why? Because they see a bunch of figs lying out there, and they don't know that they were originally caked together. They weren't told they have to re-cake them, they just have to cake them. So they don't know that they're already Chayav and Masrot. And Patru Chaviotav, my Mekartot, but if you see barrels with the tops off, you know the wine's already in the barrel. There's no Mekartot. You know it was already Nikbala Masrot. So what kind of mistake could you have? They already knew that they were nitbal, meaning they already became tevel, as far as maser goes. So what it means is they opened up and poured back into the vat. But the Braita says that wine already becomes a chayv maserot when it's in the bor. So there's no mistake for them to make. The answer is Rabbi Akiva, the Ramashik Per. Rabbi Akiva says, no, when was wine become chayv maserot? When you take all the junk out. The seeds and the peels and all of that. And they could say to the employer, we didn't know that this had already been processed. Why doesn't he say, why doesn't the owner, the employer say, you guys should have checked what status it was? The answer is, maybe this is a place that the guy who buys it is the guy who's makpe, so they figured they hadn't yet taken out the junk. But we have a different version of the stages at which it becomes chayav and maserot, which is yain mishered labor v'ikpet. That the essential position is that wine, once it goes into the vat and is de-peeled and all that stuff is taken out, is chayav. He says, no, you have to first put it in the barrels, then it's chayav. So we don't even have to say that the barrels broke open into the bore. They could say, we didn't know that it had been put into the barrels. You guys should have checked into it. Same question. Because this is a place where the guy who seals the barrels is the guy who pulls the stuff out. So they see unsealed barrels, and they figure that it was never sealed, never taken care of, and there's no chiyuv masrot. So all of this is trying to explain why it might have been a mekach taot, even in the case in the upcoming Mishnah. All right, let's see. Toshma. This is now the very next Mishnah. Kotzetz adam adei atzmo, adei bno vitoa gdolim, adei avdo v'shivchatoa gdolim, adei ishto. A man can make an arrangement to not eat the food, and to, let's say, get a better salary or whatever it is for himself or for his adult children, for his adult slaves, or for his wife. Neshesh ben dat. And the reason given is because they have dat. So you cannot engage your minor children or minor slaves and make such a deal. Or your animal. Now, we assume that this is a case where the employer is providing them with food, not the food they eat along the way, but like lunch. So yeah, if you agree that they're eating mishamayim, shemachin okotzitz, I understand that's why he can't make a deal on behalf of his young kids. And I'm mishalo ochel, but if it's their own grant, so ktanim nam nakutzlehu, so make the deal with the ktanim also. Hire your kids out, and you get a greater salary, they won't eat, they're getting lunch anyways. So, maybe we're talking about a case where the owner is not giving them food. So, yachi gedolim nami, then gedolim also can't forgive it. The answer is gedolim yadiv kamachli, gedolim have dat, they can be mochel it. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Now, v'hatani Rabbi Shai had a braita, in which he had a slightly different version. So, a person can make such a deal for himself or his wife, but not his animal. Good, so far, it's the same as the Mishnah. Same thing, for his adult children, but not for his minor children. But here's the trick. He can make such a deal for his slaves, whether they're minor or adults. So my love, aren't we talking both in the Mishnah and in this Braita, where the guy's feeding them? The machloket about whether you could do it for the minor slaves is, the marsavar mishalo achal marsavar mishal shamayim uachal, that the Braita's position is, or Fashaya's position is, that it's Mishalo, and therefore he has the right to make such a deal, and that the Mishnah's position is Mishamayim. Lo, the Kuliyam Mishalo, Achel, but he agrees it's Mishalo. Lokasha, Kamishen Alam Zonot, the Braita Malam Zonot. Our Mishnah's talking about a case where you don't feed them, and the Braita's talking about a case where you do feed them, and therefore you're allowed to make such a deal on behalf of the minor slaves. Wait a second, Mayokim, Malam Zonot, you're saying that the Braita is a case of Malam Zonot? Then you should do the same thing for the minor children. You should be able to make such a deal. And Rav Hoshai didn't allow for that. The answer is, the Torah didn't give you the right to harass your kids. For your kids to be working in a field, not be able to munch on the stuff that they're working on, that's harassment. That's tsar. And that you don't have a right to take away. Now, so you're saying our Mishnah is b'she'en ma'alel and mazonot, that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you're not feeding them? That works according to the opinion that says that the master has a right to say to his slave, you work for me and I won't feed you. It's a machlok in the first parak of Gittin. Shapir. But according to the position, it says that a master has that right. The first one was, if he doesn't have that right. So therefore, since he's not being fed, he has to allow them to eat. But if you say that he has that right, so ma'ikul meimar, both the bright and the Mishnah have to be a case where he's not being fed. The position of our Mishnah is that you do not have the right. You do not have the right to say to your slave, work for me and I won't feed you. The position of Rabbi Shai is you do have such a right. Therefore, even with your minor slaves, even though they're not getting fed, you could still make such a deal. Wait a second, that won't work because Rabbi Yochanan's halachic position is that a master has such a right. According to that, he's ignoring the Mishnah and following the Braita. That doesn't work. Everybody agrees he's eating Mishamayim. And you're not allowed to make any sort of deals on it. My kotzeitz of Rabbi Yeshaya, what was the kotzeitz of Rabbi Yeshaya for the minor slaves? Mizonot. It doesn't mean you make a deal that they won't get fed. You make a deal of what to feed them. But if that's the case, then you can be kotzeitz for an animal also how much to feed him. And you said and there's, you can't be kotzeitz for an animal. This is the machloket. The marsava mishalo ochel, marsava mishal shamayim ochel. The machloket is that the Tana, the bright Rabbi Shai says mishalohu ochel, right? And the Tana of the Mishnah says mishal shamayim ochel, and therefore you do not have the right with anybody who's a katan, even an eved, to take it away from him. Okay, we'll stop at this point, and Mirza Shem, in the next podcast, we will come to the end of the parak. Looking first, the first Mishnah we'll look at will seem very familiar because we just dealt with it, and therefore the Gemara will have very little to say about it, actually nothing. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.